Morning, I'd like to talk to you about some of the attitudes which preclears have, some of the manifestations which might be perhaps to you maybe a little bit unusual. We're talking here now about rare cases, not necessarily about the average case. All cases, some auditors say, are tough cases. All cases are tough cases. An auditor who confronts a case believing it is a simple case is doing a bad job of prediction. It is in your interest as a living being to predict accurately. Not necessarily to agree with the future, but to predict accurately and to forecast how much you can alter the future. It is a very, very stupid thing for an individual not to accurately predict. The fellow who wants to gamble, who wants to take a tremendous chance on something or other, he takes a speedboat and he looks it over and finds out the bilge is full of gasoline, and he glances at the bows and finds out the planking is pretty well caved in, and he takes a look at the motor in general and finds out it has no flash protector on it so that any backfire is not caught, and he finds out that it's making water rather rapidly, and he looks at the weather reports and it says that it's going to storm, and very shortly, so what? And he says, oh, well, doesn't matter. I'll go out for a cruise. Truth of the matter is, he's probably predicting fairly accurately. He starts up the motor, and he gets it out in the channel, and all of a sudden the motor backfires, and the boat catches on fire, and the sea is too rough, and that's the end of him. He predicted very accurately. He wanted to kill himself, and he did. Back of all of this directional prediction, you might say, is a specific intention. Now, an intention isn't nearly as important as you think it is. Nowhere near as important, really. Because the intentions of man, when matched up against his environment and so forth, are very strange and shifting things, which are usually other determined. And in the business of living, what one intends to do with life usually is a compromise between this and that and so forth. An intention is not of the same magnitude as a consideration, not even vaguely. We won't go into that or scramble up somatics, as the general semanticist calls words. That was a joke. We nevertheless have to assume that individuals sometimes know what they're doing and sometimes don't know what they're doing. Well, this individual can have many considerations in operation without having any intentions at all. And that's why an intention is not of the same magnitude as a consideration. This individual considers he's alive, he considers this is gravity, this, that, the other thing, so on, and this goes on and on, day after day after day after day. And what he intends to do about it is quite something else. What the environment intends to do to him, that's quite something else. It probably doesn't even know he's there. So we get intention reduced down to the category of accidental combination. And that's what, really, intentions amount to. You go out and stop any person on that street out there and ask, what are you doing with your life? What do you intend to do next year? Anything like this. Huh? You wouldn't know what you're talking about. But you could say, is it hot? No, it's not hot. Consideration. See? He has a consideration as to whether it's hot or whether it's cold or whether it's raining or whether he's tired or any of these things. So he has this tremendous number of considerations and practically no intentions whatsoever. Now, the big game that man plays is watching man go around and man thinks that man has intentions. Man's drifting, by and large, like a bunch of carpenter's chips cast upon a small brook. They just go along, that's all. They catch up in the eddies, they flow away, they don't flow. It's a hit or miss gambling situation as far as life is concerned and so on. An individual gets to this state to the point where he'll walk out and he'll look at this motorboat, look it all over, and he's just, there's a motorboat and motorboats drive, and so he drives a motorboat. He hasn't really any intention to kill himself or any intention to stay alive. He has no intentions whatsoever. He isn't thinking in that category. An intention doesn't appear, actually, until an individual has some amount of self-determinism in action. And an individual is way up the line before he starts to get any self-determinism in action. Otherwise, he's just drifting. Falling into the eddies, going down the stream, doing anything that occurs to him. Following any impulse that comes in from any quarter. And he calls this living and so on. Yet that livingness is composed of considerations. It is not really composed of intentions at all. The intentions are accidentals for the most part. The considerations are quite solid. He considers he is to some degree. He considers other things can occur. He considers that other influences can act upon him and that he can act upon other influences. And he is considering every split second of his waking hours. Every split second that man is engaged in consideration. And maybe once a year, he gets a forthright intention. Intention is what puts the direction on effort. And effort can flow around like mad without having any predicted direction. Difference between a sane person and a person who isn't sane is that a sane person occasionally has intentions or can define the actual intentions of the environment regarding himself. And a person who is crazy has no intentions, but boy, does he have considerations. So let's just look at these words and see what we mean here. We have a vectored thrust, you might say, where we have intention. And in consideration, we have taken in the energy itself, the space it is moving in, the ideas that are going into that space, so on. We've taken in a big package. Now, an individual, as he gets up the line, does begin to recover some intentions. And when he starts to recover these intentions, it's a very smart thing indeed, below the level of all these considerations, to accurately measure intentions. That is to say, to get intentions which are going to take place. Predict accurately, in other words. If he gets an intention, it is an intention which can be carried through. He monitors his intention against livingness. Not until he was totally free. Not until he was totally unencumbered with no real wide responsibility to other forms could this individual forthrightly, completely, and entirely carry out an intention without any randomity entering. You see that? No third dynamic, no inaccuracy of prediction. Third dynamic, inaccuracy of prediction. Now, an individual can simply synthesize this. He can simply predict accurately by knowing the considerations with which he's involved. Now, let's take you as an auditor processing a group. We have 20 people in this group, and they've come in from various quarters. We take a look at them, and some of them are fat, and some of them are thin, and some of them are tall and short, and some of them have a wild eye, and some of them have a bovine eye. And we look at these people, and we start to group audit them. We say, get some places where you're not, and hold the two back corners of the room, and let's put your attention on your right foot, and I'll move your right foot, and find a place to move it to now, and move it again. And this, that, the other thing. Well, your intention had better be monitored against the total consideration with which you're operating. At the end of an hour, that group is not going to leave the room clear. If you thought at the beginning of the hour that that group was going to leave the room clear at the end of the hour, and they did not, you would have given yourself a failure. And here we get to the most significant part of the whole darn scheme of things. Your failures occur only because of your inability to predict. And the only failure there is a failure of prediction. And this can only take place when you didn't measure the considerations involved. So we get the higher level of failure, which is failure to measure the considerations involved. And then we get an even higher level of failure than that, which puts failure into this category. And that is, in assuming that, in the conflict of self-determinism and other determinism, you can't monitor the other determinism or change its considerations. And that's the button failure on the track. You selected out self-determinism to be self-determined about and other determinism to be other determined about. You failed at that moment. Because, obviously, that is the germ that leads to any destruction in a being. Now, there may be higher echelons than that. We could philosophize around here and have a good time. But all we're interested in, actually, is just in looking at the practical side of existence for yourself as an auditor. And we find out that any case is a tough case. Well, all right. Let's predict it that way. If you want to be surprised because it's an easy case. After you figured it was a tough case. This says, well, therefore you should get a pessimistic attitude toward life. No. No, not even vaguely. Let's just be real about reality. What is reality? Reality is a concatenation of agreements. As soon as you fall away from these agreements, these measured and parity considerations, as soon as you depart from those, if you're going to live at all, you, of course, get no reality. Things get unreal to you. So when we have a pre-clear, and we say, now, let's see. Now, all this pre-clear's considerations are thus and so, and so, and so, and so, and so, and we're going to restore a higher level of self-determinism here. We could put our intention right at the beginning of the session and predict it accurately, or we could just shilly-shally through the whole session and just let it coast and let the accidental predictions take place and so on. The latter course is the course an auditor takes when his case isn't in very good shape. He just, you know, well, I'll run the process, and somehow or other by accident, the chuck-a-luck wheels will turn the right direction and the proper number of sixes will come up. Actually, a good process to use, according to him, would be flipping a coin. A coin that has neither heads nor tails, expecting heads or tails to come up. Well, it's a sort of a no responsibility, taking a risk, a gamble, and so on. It's your ability to predict a pre-clear have a lot to do with your success or failures with pre-clears. But what have we got a failure depending on? Any failure you ever failed at occurred because you mispredicted. You only mispredicted because you didn't take into consideration the considerations. And then we have the consideration that there is such a thing as failure. And after we get through with this, we ask somebody who has gone all the way through life and failed all the way through life, you see. It's rather hard to understand. It's hard, by the way, for a young man to understand an old man sitting there slumped, failed. How can he fail? What is this strange ingredient called failure? And he begins to ask this question. And the next thing you know, he's got it figured out that people can fail. This has never occurred to him before. And he sees it, though. He's got an example of it right there in front of him. But he didn't have to at all, did he? He didn't have to just say, well, this old guy failed, so therefore failure takes place. No, it'd be much more sensible if he said, this old guy failed, so therefore considerations take place. And then he's done the best job of prediction there can be. He's predicted the fact that considerations will continue to take place. That's the most prediction, actually, that you can do with accuracy in this world. That's the most prediction that could be 100% accurate all the way down the long line. That fits with every category. You can predict that there will be considerations. Now, if you consider considerations as bad or good, you could predict, of course, that there are the considerations which end up will be bad or the considerations which wind up will be good. Okay, you have added another consideration to just the business consideration. So you're pretty clear, sitting there, taking a gambler's chance, he figures, expects you out of some necromancy or some a whiff of old bat's wing and a few tiger claw pairings and so forth to suddenly appear on the table in front of him, and voila, magic, presto, changeo, and he's well. This is about all the responsibility he takes for it. He just dumped everything in your lap, you see, and you sit there as an auditor. Well, you have a total absence of intention in your preclear, actually. You start out, preclear tells you he wants to be clear. But this is not necessarily true. His considerations, when he himself isn't monitoring them directly, add up to Lord knows what intention. Because you just get an arithmetical problem. Consideration A plus consideration B plus consideration C equals intention ? Now, that's why people thought people had unconscious minds. You see where this little scalpel was laying in here? That is how guys like Freud, men, scientists, guys like Freud made such colossal significances. They got an unconscious mind and the reconscious mind. That's one, by the way. Freud didn't have the reconscious mind. We invented that the other day over lunch. The reconscious mind is what happens when the id libido schizophrenics. Let's look at this hidden influence and see it as a problem in elementary arithmetic. The hidden influence, of course, is there. It happens to be a thetan, a consideration production unit. That's a hidden influence. But the second we spotted him, he wasn't hidden anymore. So we just wiped out the hidden influence factor involved here as far as what the hidden influence is. But let's look at what they thought the hidden influence was. And we find, I just repeat this, consideration A plus consideration B plus consideration C added up to some sort of an accidental gambler's intention. You know, it's just a gamble. Unless you took all the considerations into account. Well, now, the unconscious mind was supposed to be something which sprung up with barbaric glee and smote somebody at unexpected moments of obscenity. According to Freud, according to others, it came up in different guises. Well, was there an unconscious mind or a hidden intention? Well, it was hidden if you didn't know it was based on considerations. And it's hidden in that the sum of the considerations might be very difficult to arrive at. But beyond that, it isn't anything that's sleeping there back of the couch or something or under the preclear's medulla oblongata. What you've got is just this, the composite considerations of his family and social life give us a certain vector quality. That is to say, we could then have all these things sum up and make an accidental intention. And this is not anything to be dignified, because is there actually an intention the way we consider, you know, you think the thought and that occurs? Is there actually such an intention there? Is it even statable? No. Because you've got all these various considerations fitting in this way and that way, and you've got them constantly shifting and changing from moment to moment in life. Various considerations pop up and other considerations go down and so on. But it's a little bit hard to put into language, but you can just sort of see this fellow going through life, shaking the dice, spinning the roulette wheel, and it's just any way the vectors happen to go, why, that way he travels. He isn't even totally aware of being made to travel in any direction, because nothing is making him travel in any direction. There isn't any sentient intention. What it is a composite of considerations which just happen to occur in a combination which makes an apparent intention. But that intention is not an articulate, summatable thing, and it's not a mind, and it's not anything else. If a person cannot articulate his intentions clearly, then what occurs to him in life will be the arithmetical result of the various considerations operating at that moment. And if this is really an intention, or a goal, or a drive in life, and so forth, then I would never recognize it. The person is just like a fly banging off the walls and hitting the ceiling and chroming off of that and so on. He's just going through life, batting this way and that. Well, that is the condition of mind of the cycle. It's just an accidental summation. However the considerations happen to fall at that moment, why, so the behavior occurs. And if we dignified it by saying it was an impulse from someplace, or something of the sort, why, we would again be into the vast study of the reconscious. Don't have to study the reconscious, because if this person's, and here we get to the nub of this whole talk, if that person is acting rather unpredictably, and if he's sort of unpredictable in your hands in auditing, he's running on a set of accidentals, and there's no intention there. And that's what is ghastly about the case to you, if you go on trying to figure out what are the intentions of this fellow, see? Well, they'll change from moment to moment. They'll be all over the place. You're looking at the condition of an accidental intention. And as a result, as you process him, you try to predict this fellow by saying, what does this fellow really mean to do? Or what did he really intend? Or how is he really going to react? And so on. You're looking at him on the basis as though he's being monitored. If something's monitoring, a mind is monitoring, or something of the sort, and if you keep looking for this, or keep looking for some kind of a central button which will resolve this wishy-washy shilly-shallyness, which you can suddenly push, you see, and he unshilly-shallies, why, you're just going to have the strangest cases you ever heard of. You're going to have lots of rare cases, and they're all going to be tough. Every one of them is going to be tough. Because you and an auditor will spend all of your time trying to predict the course of something which is random in its action. No guy in his right mind would try to predict the course of an ion in this room. Said ion banging around and being totally dependent upon being banged into to bang anyplace else. And you just say, well, it's a random action. This is the physical universe itself. It is a composite of considerations which add up to a confusion. And this is chaos. You're just looking at a pre-clear and somebody who has accepted the valence of the messed universe 100%. He's just chaos. No intentions involved here. You're going to spend a lot of time with Preclears trying to figure out exactly what he's going to do, exactly what'll hit that button, exactly what you could carve into, exactly what process you could use if you don't recognize this one fact. Your job is to get him out of a few considerations and into a few considerations on his own determinism, at which moment you will discover that he is capable of an intention. And after you've done a lot with consideration, and if you've handled it very well, why, he is then capable of an intention. But up to that time, you were not processing anything that was capable of an intention. Any intention in the thing was so random that you had just had this arithmetical summation, which would add up to an accidental intention, which would change in the next moment to something or other. Even though the fellow's considerations weren't changing, boy, were his intentions changing. And we get down to the final difference between consideration and intention, is that as considerations become more unchangeable, intentions become more changeable. So if you find somebody whose intentions are changing rapidly, you're going to find somebody whose considerations are concrete, wrapped up in iron, strictly unchangeable. As the considerations become changeable, the intentions become less random. And when a person's considerations are very definitely capable of change all over the place, boy, you can get an intention there that is like a hot beam of lightning. These two things are different parts of thinkingness, definitely. But when we talk about intention, we're talking about something rather junior. It isn't that it's a big part or anything of the sort. We're just talking about the result or activity of considerations. Result, activity, action, whatever you want to call it. Vectors. Accidental vectors, and they are entirely dependent upon consideration, because there must be a consideration that there can be intentions before intentions can exist. All right. In processing a preclear, then, let's be very sharp and recognize this factor, that as his intentions are wobbly, his considerations are concrete, and after you've made his considerations less concrete, why, his intentions will get more steady. And if you're trying to bring about a better goal line, a better level of responsibility for a preclear and so forth, you're operating on a goal, you see. You're trying to bring about something. Well, you're operating with an intention about intentions. You want to improve his intentions. If you want to improve his intentions, the first and foremost thing you have to do is alter his considerations, bring his considerations to a level where he can change them. When he can change them, why, he will have his intentions. But when you directly process intentions, you lose ground. It's considerations you should be processing. Now, the goal with Preclear is to get a good level of determinism, which is to say, a good level of prediction, but much more importantly, an ability to alter his considerations. See, you can have the goal of predictable intentions, good intentions, solid intentions, honest intentions, or anything you want to, but in order to do that, you actually have to process right straight at the goal of altering considerations. You want his considerations alterable and easily changed. You want that in his ability. You want to put that into his ability. And you don't give a darn about what his intentions are. After you've done this, why, he can have some intentions. But way up the line on a case, a long distance into a case, why, you are haunted by the idea that you ought to be able to improve this person's intentions one way or the other. And if you concentrated on that and just processed intentions, you'd just never get any place at all. Case would just stick right there. You can relax about the whole thing, change his considerations. When have you improved a case? When you have improved the ability of the case to alter his considerations. That's about all you can say about it. the rare, rough preclear who was very, very tough and very hard to process, is simply a person whose intentions are entirely random and whose considerations are concrete.